This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
207 at News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ. Good afternoon and welcome to the Afternoon Drive with Skip Echeverria and Philip Teresi. $25,000 could be yours in the 25K payoff right now. $100 is up for grabs, and all you have to do is text the national keyword to 95819. Don't text and drive. It's not a first in and win thing. You got a minute. Park. Be safe. Text the national keyword to 95819. You can win $100 this hour. You could win $25,000 in our grand prize drawing. That's why it's called the 25K payoff. And this hour's national keyword, Skip?
Bank. B-A-N-K. Bank.
Text it to 95819. You can win $100 now, $25,000 down the road. 25K payoffs brought to you by Chuck Chancey Gold Resort and Casino. For details and contest rules, you can visit us at KMJNow.com. Good afternoon.
Hello. Good to have you. It's Tuesday. You could win $100. Make sure you send that text.
It's Tuesday. We've got some details coming in on stories that we've been following and a couple of news stories. And one in particular, I'm really pleased to see over at KMJNow.com. Madera County taking down 38. In the Operation Crystal Vines, targeting Madera County-based drug traffickers.
I didn't know that Lovina was a place. I say that with all sincerity. I know all the little nooks and crannies of, well, some of them, of Fresno-Clovis area. But when I saw this come up, I was like, Central Valley?
Mm-hmm.
Where's Lovina? What is hiding and going on in this part of Madera? And apparently a whole lot of meth and fentanyl.
Yeah. Lots and lots. $400,000 worth of drugs, including $250,000 worth of meth that had been brought up from Mexico, and 3,400 fentanyl pills.
Oh, man. And when we talk about the opiate epidemic and the rising cases of overdose that are happening that have really shot up during the pandemic, fentanyl is like next level. It is so, so much more potent than any of those, like, you know, like Norcos or Vicodin. That's like kids' Smarties. Compared to heroin, compared to fentanyl.
Yeah.
Glad they got him.
Really pleased that they got him. Really pleased to see the coverage of it. I was thinking about this kind of in the context of the news cycle as we have seen it over the past 2 or 3 weeks. Fentanyl is really, really, really bad news. Look, I get that dosed properly, cut properly, It's an opiate. It's Norco. It's Oxy. It's heroin. It's all of those things. Dosed improperly, it is fatal so quickly. Instead of the news media latching on to every idiotic statement made by a politician, and all of the silly slap fight posturing of social justice warriors. Couldn't they cut out one of those segments to have like a nightly, oh my God, all these people are dying from fentanyl. And like really, you're not going to stop people from using drugs, but like really put it in people's heads that this stuff's bad, man.
Well, and so just to clarify, because I think people have gotten so used to hearing the word fentanyl. Fentanyl is a synthetic opioid. It's like morphine, but 50 to 100 times more potent. In regards to, this goes back to some of the data from 2017, of all the opioid-related deaths, fentanyl was attributed to 59.8%.
Yeah.
You don't just jump up to fentanyl. You work your way up to it. The problem with the use of opioids is that you build a tolerance. And so oftentimes people have to increase their use just to keep the withdrawals away. I mean, to be completely honest, I don't know that people that are really doing fentanyl on a regular basis are even really feeling the the ups of the downer at that point, because you've built up so much tolerance to it. I mean, there might be some, but it's never like, you know, it's a little like chasing the dragon. But I mean, 50 to 100 times more potent than morphine. And we give, you know, we give morphine at like end of life type stuff. I mean, that's really intense. And sometimes people aren't thinking about the fact that, you know, we might lock up alcohol or talk to kids about, you know, don't do heroin, don't do weed, whatever. We don't think about like what's in our own medicine cabinets and how that could be a gateway to adults too, by the way.
Oh, sure. No, I think that there is, I think that there is still a lot of studying to be done on the nature of addiction and what the pieces are that allow it to accelerate. Because I'll take the same attitude here that I've got with my kids, and I'm just not going to lie about it. I've taken Vicodin recreationally. It was very, very stupid. It was a long time ago, but I did it. I did not die, obviously, or I wouldn't be standing here boring all of you with this story. But a tremendous number of people that I know in my personal life at some point abused, albeit in very minor and casual ways, opiates. And it was Vicodins or it was Norcos or, you know, somebody sneaking Oxy out of grandma's bathroom cabinet and split it, stupid things like that. Some of those people did not pull out of it. They didn't knock it off and go to college or get a job. They turned into drug addicts. And it wasn't always the person that you kind of expected, because it's easy to look at the scruffy kid with the bad attitude, the bad grades, and the crummy family and say, oh, well, it's going to be the dope fiend. And that was not the case. When Michael Jackson died, everybody learned the name propofol. That was the milky anesthetic he was having administered to him by an MD, because apparently this weird poor bastard was so addicted and so wound up that he needed surgical anesthetic to go to sleep at night. Is that getting to that parallel of fentanyl?
You are on that level of just needing more and more and more. I mean, fentanyl really came to the forefront because that's what killed Prince.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it is just chasing the bigger thing. Now, real quick, what I will say, you know, why you were able to use it and not use it. And by the way, opiates can be prescribed for absolutely like righteous causes.
Oh, yeah, I had
like,
them when I had
from
some
surgery, yeah, and stuff like that. The way that I would explain it is, genetics loads the gun, environment pulls the trigger. You don't know who, and that's one of the, I don't remember who told me that, but it's one of the most profound things. And sometimes the environment, now we have to think of the environment post-pandemic and isolation going up and stress going up. Sometimes that environment now, the level of the environment is there's not so many triggers to pull the trigger because people are kind of at the wit's end of their coping skills. I mean, there's plenty of research that shows, and some of it in rats, that if you can put rats with water, with drugs in it and no drugs, and yeah, they'll play around with the drugs. But then if they have like friend rats and partner rats and food and a place to run around and play, they won't keep hitting the drugs.
Yeah,
because life is fulfilling enough that they're getting the other kind of stimulation. So this is a really big, it's scary though, because we don't think about that when we're thinking about people doing, you know, like we think about the other kind of drugs. We're not thinking about the prescription types. And I've lost count of how many people who have been completely stable and fine, and then something comes up, an injury, you know, this, that, or the other. And then opiates in particular are what trigger the use.
Well, and opiates and that gateway of the poorly moderated prescription is, I mean, that has to be 75% of opiate addiction in this country. And I'm just shooting from the hip here, but the number of people getting heroin from a street dealer versus the number of people who snuck one of grandma's oxys because I heard on the news it'll get you a buzz.
Or just, I'm a drug therapist, and I would have people at the gym be like, hey, do you have like any whatever? Because they would just ask so casually, like, do you know what I do for, you can't share prescriptions. That's illegal.
Misdemeanor or felony?
Well, I think it would depend on the amount. But if you got busted driving a car, for instance, with a drug that you're not supposed to have, that's like a DUI on top of something else.
Yeah.
Just for instance, yeah. I mean, as an example.
We'll carry on with this in just a minute, because I think that it's I think it's worth a few more minutes of conversation as 38 arrests are announced in Madera County, taking down a drug smuggling and distribution ring. This was kind of a big deal, you guys. If you want to see some of the pictures, check out the story at KMJNow.com. It's Philip and Skip on your afternoon drive. This is KMJ. Thanks for hanging out.
It's a new era in news talk, only on News Talk 580-1059, KMJ.
If you haven't done it already, now would be a good time, if you're not driving, to text the word BANK, B-A-N-K, BANK, to 95819. You could win $100 this hour. Get one step closer to the $25,000 payoff. It's brought to you by Chicchansi Gold Resort and Casino. All the details you need at kmjnow.com. Once again, BANK, B-A-N-K, to 95819. That's Philip. I'm Skip, and we're jumping into this story of 38 arrested in Madera County. The Sheriff's Department working with others to shut down a drug trafficking ring that included crystal meth and fentanyl, among other things. But a round of applause due out to that law enforcement, a collection of agencies that managed to seize over $400,000 worth of drugs.
18 pounds of crystal methamphetamine, 60 grams of cocaine, 3.7 pounds of heroin, 25 pounds of marijuana, 64 grams of concentrated cannabis, and 3,400 fentanyl pills. At this point, if you're using methamphetamine, especially if you're smoking meth, I hate to say it, man, but I feel like at this point, the best thing to do for society is sterilize the tweakers and let them go to hell in their own way. And I know that's not nice, but there doesn't seem, meth seems to be one of those drugs that once it gets its hooks in, you just become a consistently worse person until you die.
So I would say that the popular perception of meth users is that. And yes, it is one of the harder ones to kick because the dopamine spike is so high compared to anything you can get from like a natural high. So, yeah, that is a very real, real situation. That said, I interviewed somebody once who did not get into meth until they were an adult and they were introduced in a work type setting. And I've seen this so many times. Again, I've lost count where it's people who want to be able to check all the boxes at work and be really on top of things and meet all their needs and then also be able to be home and with their children and present. For women, it has some ability to be an alternative if they're struggling with weight loss and lack of energy. I mean, we think it's tweakers out on the road stealing copper. It's doctors, it's professors, it's teachers, it's parents. The reason why I've never played around with it is because I know I would like it.
Yeah, I simply never stepped over that line. There's other stuff that I experimented with. I understand what you're saying. I think that the social assumption of, you know, a tweaker is a tweaker is a tweaker, it's not baseless. It's a terrible thing because you do have good people who get sucked into drug addiction. I'm not trying to be glib, but for God's sake, go get an Adderall prescription.
Well, an Adderall is actually a really great gateway drug to meth because the same way prescription pills are a gateway to heroin, it's easier to get meth than it is to get Adderall and Ritalin and stuff falls into a Schedule 2 or whatever it is. So it's harder to get.
Sure. And then the fentanyl pills. And the methamphetamine question, I mean, Look, I understand there's people out there who are going to recover and go on to live wonderful, productive lives. I'm out of patience with the tweakers. I got a story in the pile today about copper thieves going and cutting the connecting cables off of all the EV chargers, every one of the electric vehicle chargers in downtown Fresno. I'm out of patience.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying.
The number of security systems I saw put on the roofs of school buildings so they would have motion-sensitive cameras, because tweakers will crawl onto the roofs of elementary schools to steal copper. I'm out of patience. The fentanyl thing, here's the difference. You know you're using meth when you're using meth. You made a decision to do that. Mm-hmm. Now, as to can people recover, can people get better and go on to live good lives, I'm sure that that's in the realm of possibility. The fentanyl thing, you've got drug dealers who are using it to cut other drugs and inadvertently killing people because they don't understand the doses or they're screwing up the mix. You've got bootleg stuff that's killing people because they flat out don't understand how to prepare it properly. And then you've got the real thing. We got Gary checking in. His mom's 99, has been taking fentanyl for 10 years because of a legitimate medical need. Hopefully, nobody's gone into Gary's mom's medicine cabinet and swiped pills to get high, or they entered the whole opiate thing at a very different level than somebody who grabbed a Norco. We are not spending nearly enough time talking about the horror of this thing sneaking up on you. The war on drugs, in my mind, has largely failed. And the goofy old ONDCP spots where somebody trashes a kitchen using a cast iron pan as their weapon of choice, unfortunately, just turned into laughing stocks. They just turned into jokes. Regularly hammering home that some dirtbag drug dealer may have laced your weed or your wax with fentanyl so that you think you're getting really primo stuff and they're making a higher profit, and so you're going to die, really hammering that home, it's going to scare off the normies.
Yeah, but at the same time, and I didn't understand this when I was told this by somebody who was a heroin addict, an intravenous heroin addict, so that's like next level, was that sometimes that possibility it could be laced is also a high. It's also so you mean it could really kick, right? Because particularly when you're getting into opiates, it's never as good as the first time. And so there's this idea of trying to dance that line between it really feeling good and eventually, because what opiates do is they don't kill you, they make you stop breathing. So you'll actually suffocate while alive. It's not that you fall asleep and pass away gently. Your ability to breathe stops. That's why using things like Narcan actually comes in and knocks clean your opiate receptors so you breathe again, and then you go into full-on withdrawal because it's all been cleared out of your system. But this is scary. And this is scary not because you're worried about some drug dealer in Madera, but there are certain pockets in this town where we think about, well, you may need to worry about this drug in this pocket of town. You might need to worry about this in this pocket of town. I mean, there are parts of this town, particularly when you get into like socioeconomic, like higher middle class socioeconomic stuff, where you start to see the pills are a real problem, for instance, on campuses. It's not happening right now because schools are mostly closed, but to be aware of this and to be having these conversations, not just with youth, but with people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you start to get old, your back hurts, you know, and like somebody's like, oh, I got a pill I can share with you. You know, I mean, like to be aware of that, and it's not some boogeyman living in Lavina.
Oh, no, I don't think that it's about the boogeyman out in rural Madera County accosting children on their way to and from Bible study. It's about somebody who got casually hooked because somebody gave him a Norco and that felt pretty good, and they were able to find a doctor who gave more, and on and on and on. I go back to what I said about you know when you use meth that you're using meth. You have made a choice to do that, to ingest that. you've made a choice to pursue it and to follow up with it. The fentanyl thing is so insidious and sneaks up on people who had no intention of doing it, in addition to the people who thought they were doing something way less consequential. I could use with one last news story, wringing hands and rending garments over what a dirtbag Matt Gaetz is today, and one more with, hey, maybe don't put strange pills in your mouth.
Right, and especially if people start thinking about the fact that it is impacting their own families. You don't have to go very far to find them.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
2:37 on your Afternoon Drive at News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. Coming up after the news at 3 o'clock, we will be joined by Fresno County Supervisor Steve Brandow. A big announcement coming from the county earlier today as they decide collectively to rescind the proclamation of local emergency. Steve Brandow joins us not quite 30 minutes from now on News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. It's Philip Teresi, Skip Echeverria, and in just a couple of minutes, a huge, huge, huge update in the decades-old story of the disappearance of Kristen Smart. Two arrests were made today.
Oh.
And we will get to that. But Kyle wanted to share his story as we come off the Operation Grapevine, busting 38 drug traffickers in Madera County and taking over 3,000 fentanyl pills along with tonnage of other drugs out of circulation. Kyle, welcome to KMJ.
Hey, guys. I'll try to go through this as quickly as possible because it's a hell of a roller coaster ride. 26 years old. I just get married. Normie. Didn't smoke pot, never drank, nothing. Never, just didn't do it. My wife, the one that I married, was in the medical field and had two things going on. I needed some wisdom teeth removed, and I had a bad L4 and L5 in my back from working at UPS. But I lived with it. So I got the wisdom teeth removed in her office, and I take Vicodin. They prescribe it. And I'm like, wow, this shit's great. Oh. Next thing I know, I'm starting to ask her to bring it home from the office all the time because she took my wisdom teeth out. Well, guess what? She did for about 2 years. Now, here I am, a normie. I didn't know the stuff was addictive, but she did. But she's bringing it home on a regular basis, and I could get all I wanted, and I did. Finally, the office got audited, and they couldn't have samples sitting out anymore. They had to be locked up.
Yeah.
And while these pharmaceutical reps were pushing this crap, she was telling me all this about through her office. Now, mind you, now I got to go to Kaiser because of my back. What do? Pain medicine specialist. They put me on fentanyl patches. Next thing you know, I'm at home, and I'm going, wow, this stuff's strong. Well, I didn't know it was activated on the patches by heat because it reads your body temperature.
Sure.
But we go to the river a lot. We have a boat. I'm over at the river sitting in my lawn chair, 120 degrees out with a patch on me.
Loaded to the gills.
Next thing you know, I'm freaking high as a kite, and I'm realizing what's going on. I peel the patch off, throw it in the water. I'm going, okay, I'm done with that stuff. In the meantime, I couldn't get it anymore. So guess what? Sneaky ass that I am, at the time, I started forging my own prescriptions. I had a prescription. I took them with a regular copy machine, and I had a really nice one in my office, started making my own. Well, that went on for a couple of years. Then they changed where you had to have the two-sided prescriptions with the safety thing and all that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, well, I'm out of luck here. I got caught. There's so much more to this. But I can tell you, the fentanyl was so dangerous, the legitimate stuff. And how quickly I got caught up in the opiate addiction thing. It blew my mind. It happened so fast. Ended up in rehab, went to jail once, and it got dropped from 3 felonies to a misdemeanor. I mean, I got to write a book. I'm not kidding you. And I look at it now, and I'm sitting here going, wow, how did a regular corporate guy like myself end up in this mess? And I came out of it, and I'm clean, and I can't believe I went through all that crap, and it involved all the fentanyl, the Norco, all of it. And it was just, it's frightening how quickly it catches up with you. That's all I can say.
Kyle, what if you don't mind my asking, I understand it's a strange thing to share unless you've shared it before. What was your light bulb moment? What was your rock bottom that you went, I got to go to rehab?
The first time I got caught, what I would do, and I'll just say it real quickly. I would wait till after that doctor's office that I forged those prescriptions on closed at 6 p.m. And I hit 24-hour pharmacies within a 90-mile radius of my house. One night, I couldn't wait. And it's like 5 o'clock on a Friday. And I go past the script. And I'm sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. Nothing came up. Next thing I know, there's 2 cops on every aisle of a Rite Aid. And I'm going, shit, I'm dead.
Kyle, hang on, bud. Before we get too much further into this, you've now dropped the S word twice. I can't have it on the air. Fortunately, we got the delay dump, so you're good. But do me a favor and curb that just a little bit, okay?
I apologize. I'm sorry.
You're good, man.
So I went to jail. Got bailed out. And, of course, my wife and family does an intervention with me and says, hey, you got to get cleaned up. Well, guess what? It worked for a little while. Mm. I went back to it again. It took me two more trips to rehab, losing a really good job. I mean, I lost my family. I'm divorced now. I'm clean now. It's been years. But I look back on it. I put them through hell. Unbelievable hell. Sneaky as can be, too. I was never around. That was my deal. It was solitary. I get on my Harley and take off on a Saturday looking for a pharmacy 100 miles away.
And Kyle, can I ask you a question? By the time you got, you ended up getting arrested and going through a couple of rehabs, you weren't having fun at that point, right? Because I think that's a misconception.
No, I'm losing my life now. It got to that point, which I never thought it would get to that. You just don't. Like, yeah, it won't happen to me. It does.
Right. Well, Kyle, thank you so much for calling up. And I think speaking to the fact that particularly in the 90s and 2000s, when they were really starting to get the push behind opiates are not addictive, that was actually something that, Purdue Pharma got sued over quite a bit, but actually didn't end up paying a fraction of the amount of money that they made off of the opiate crisis and the subsequent issues that came up with that. But we appreciate you calling up and glad to hear you're sober.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, Kyle. I appreciate the story, man. Isn't it funny how quickly it snowballs from somebody took care of me, hooked me up, and that's what we call it in our mind. Somebody took care of me. Somebody hooked me up. Somebody gave me some pain pills because I was in a bad way for a moment, and it snowballs into driving 100 miles in all directions at 6 o'clock on a Friday night to find a 24-hour pharmacy to pass prescriptions that you're making with a photocopier.
Yeah. And again, since then, I mean, Kyle's been sober for a while, but there have been other things put in place, but those behaviors still continue. And I think that's the important piece is that the addiction takes over and the lying behaviors, the manipulation, the thinking you can handle it and you just can't. Fortunately, he made it out.
To anybody who has lived with an addict, for anybody who loves an addict, for anybody who is an addict, you already know how understated Kyle is about the hell that he went through and that he unfortunately took his family through, the people that love him in this chasing dope. If you haven't had a front row seat, you can't understand how understated this guy was and how comfortable he's got to be in his sobriety today to be able to talk about it that way. Because you're talking about a dissolved marriage. You're talking about a career ended. I'm glad he got sober. I'm glad he found his way. And let's have one less segment on the evening news where we jump up and down and freak out about something that some politician said or some display of attention seeking behavior from you know, the local gadflies. And let's, God almighty, can we hammer this home just one more time? Cover the fentanyl problem. It's a bigger problem than right now. I think it's a bigger problem than meth.
I think that it's definitely more likely to kill people. And so, again, going back to, you know, this was a year-long project that they did, this Operation Crystal Vines in Madera County. We can't pretend that it's not right here in our valley and being aware of it. I mean, it is easy. You know, we make, oh, Fresno's the meth capital of the world. Well, we're moving up in some other areas, too, that we don't want to be a part of. And that's why I think it's an important important thing to pay attention to. And once again, congratulations to Madera County for figuring it out. Bail ranging from $100,000 to $5 million. So they're not playing around with these arrests and the folks that they put behind jail, nor should they. It would be interesting, though. Go look at the arrests, because these are not people that, you know, they're people you would pass in a store.
Nah, they all look like criminals. Hey, when we get back, we got an update for you guys out of San Luis Obispo. Not one, but two arrests and additional warrants being served. Progress in the, my God, what's it been, 25 years now?
This is incredible.
The Kristen Smart case. An update when we return on KMJ.
Coming up just after 3 o'clock, we'll have your next chance to get one step closer to the $25,000 payoff. So stay tuned for your next hourly keyword. Also joining us after 3 o'clock, Fresno County Supervisor Steve Brandow is going to be joining us on the afternoon drive to talk about the news about Fresno County and COVID restrictions. Right, that'll now, be on the way.
Right now, an update out of San Luis Obispo. Paul Flores, the named person of interest in the disappearance of Cal Poly student Kristen Smart, has been arrested, as has his father. A press conference held today by the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff Ian Parkinson said that, of course, Flores had been arrested for allegedly murdering the missing girl. For those of you that are trying to do the math in your head, it'll be 25 years this May since she disappeared. Memorial Day weekend, 1996.
Just the relentless dedication to trying to give these this family answers.
Ruben Flores, dad, was also arrested as an accessory to murder. Sheriff Parkinson said the department was able to interview several new witnesses in 2019, thanks in part to new information from the Your Own Backyard podcast.
We talked about some of this amateur like investigation that has actually led to the Golden State Killer being caught. I don't know if it's a fresh set of eyes, a new set of interest. Whatever the case is, it kept. I mean, if this is the guy that did it, you know, 25 years later, I would think you're probably like, I'm in the clear, but not so much.
Well, there's no statute of limitations on murder. Right. So it a fresh set of eyes, the ability to operate outside of some of the constraints that are necessarily imposed upon law enforcement, and just the willingness to continue working the issue. Another thing that needs to be noted here is that while Paul and Ruben Flores were both taken into custody this morning, they have not as yet recovered Kristen's remains.
Right. But this is a huge step forward in finding some answers for her family and to be able to lay her to rest. I mean, she was declared officially dead several years after that. But for the family to keep watching, I mean, we shared the story not too long ago, a few weeks ago, where people in the community were gathering around because they were starting to dig into the property again.
And I'm not certain if it was that dig in the property that bore fruit, but onlookers are reporting that they have been active in the garage of the home, including possibly taking out pieces of the floor of the garage. It also appears that they are back underneath that back deck and that they may be either partially disassembling the deck or digging underneath it with whatever one does to get underneath a deck to dig. So they have not stopped gathering evidence at this time. I'm really, really curious to see what led to this moment, because after 25 years, you have to imagine that short of recovering a body, forensic evidence has to be almost non-existent.
Yeah, it has to be something big. It has to be something big to not only arrest Paul Flores, but his father. That somehow indicates, I mean, to me, that would indicate that something was found on that property. I do wonder if mom's going to be implicated in this somewhere along the way, or if it is just father and son. But that community has watched this, because it, the Central Coast, you know, you think about it, it's small, it's safe. You know, Cal Poly is such a staple of that Central Coast college community and lifestyle. It's left people wondering and worrying, frankly.
As more details become available, we'll have them for you. Cal Poly students are planning to hold a candlelight vigil tonight outside of Santa Lucia Hall, the residence hall where Kristen Smart last lived. Philip and Skip on your afternoon drive at News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. When we get back, we're going to be joined by Fresno County Supervisor Steve Brandow, a decision made today by the County Board of Supervisors that's going to loosen things up just a little bit more right here in Fresno. Stand by. It's the Afternoon Drive on KMJ.